So, Hare Krishna, everyone, and welcome. Can you hear me okay in the back, Colby?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. I want to start with a question. If I were to say that no matter how small an individual is, in the eyes of God, they are very important. No matter how small a person is, in the eyes of God, they are very important. Would you agree with that or disagree with it?
Agree.
Most people, I think, would agree. Now, suppose I said the other way around. No matter how important you are, but before God, you're very small. Would you agree or would you disagree?
Agree.
So I just said two opposite things, right? No matter how small you are, before God you're important. And no matter how important you are, before God you're small. That's a contradiction. And yet, we feel that both are true. How's that possible? How can both things be true at the same time? There's one story given in the Srimad Bhagavatam that illustrates both of these things so perfectly. And it's the story that we are commemorating today. Today is a special day. It's the appearance day of Lord Nrsimhadev. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that whenever there's any kind of problem in this world, serious problem, a problem with dharma, the world's natural order, then he descends to make things right, to fix things. And he does this again and again in every part of the world, at every time in the history of the world, to all different people. And so, in this way, he reveals himself to all beings. And in fact, there have been many such incarnations and descents of the Lord all throughout history. But the one that we celebrate today is very special. It's unique because it has this quality of being able to show the Lord's incredible ability to exalt someone who's small and to diminish someone who thinks that they are very big. This is the story of Lord Nrsimha and Prahlad. You see, there was once a father. This father's name was Hiranyakashipu. Now, we all, we've seen fathers, we may be fathers ourselves, we have fathers. But this was no ordinary father. Hiranyakashipu was a tyrant, and he took it as his job to terrorize the world for his own power and his own... We know people like this in the history of the world. In fact, even now in the world, there are existing people who are like that. They're willing to go to any extent just to hold on to their power. Can you think of people like that? I'm sure you can. I won't give any names here. But I'm sure you can think of people just from the top of the news these days that are willing to go to any length just to solidify their position. Even if it means slaughtering thousands of their own citizens, they're happy to do that. So Hiranyakashipu was this kind of tyrant. He terrorized all the worlds, from the demigods in heaven to the human beings on earth. Everyone was afraid of him. And indeed, he was very powerful. He prayed to Lord Brahma, one of the demigods, and got special privileges, special wishes or boons that made sure that he would not die in any kind of circumstance that we could think of. He said, I don't want to die in the day or in the night. I don't want to die in the sky or on earth. I don't want to die inside a building or outside. I don't want to die by means of any weapon. I cannot be killed by any god, animal, or human being. And so he thought that by doing this, he had covered all his bases. That therefore no one could kill him. And in fact, he trolled this whole world up and down, left and right, went everywhere, and there was no one who could kill him. And so he terrorized everyone. He had a free reign to terrorize whoever he wanted. And he thought he was invincible. that no one could conquer him. No one was greater than him. And yet, all of that power and all of that ego was shattered by you know who? Not the big enemy that he met in the battlefield. Not the thunderbolt from heaven, the bolt of lightning that shattered his skull. None of that. He was invincible to all of that. You know what shattered him in the end? That brought him face to face with his greatest challenge? His five-year-old son. Five-year-old boy. This is the wondrous thing about the Lord. Making those who think they are very important, very small. The Lord can do this. He doesn't have to do it in a majestic way. Descending from heaven, a thunderbolt from the sky to shatter our skull. That would all be very majestic. It would make us feel very important, right? If the Lord were to descend from the sky just to kill us, it would make us feel even more important. But the Lord can accomplish this in the tiniest little fashion. Just the most basic way. Like someone who is very close to him, and apparently so weak, a five-year-old boy. What can he possibly do? And yet this five-year-old boy was convinced about one truth that Hiranyakashipu could not stomach. That truth was that the Supreme Lord, God, is Krishna or Vishnu. And I have to serve. I'm a servant of God. Hiranyakashipu said, no, you're my servant. I am God. And Prahlad was an obedient son. He wasn't a terror. He was, in fact, one of the most obedient children we read about in the scriptures. He did exactly what his parents wanted him to do. He was a very well-behaved, nice young boy. And yet, this one thing he would refuse to accept, because it was the very foundation of who he was. I am a servant of God, and I'm sorry, Father. You may be everything to me, but you're not God. And his ability to say that enraged his father, that he decided, I have to put an end to this. I have to stop it. And so just like he had conquered the king of heaven and the way he had conquered all people in this world and the greatest armies, he thought, oh, dealing with my son is a minor affair. It's a little thing. And so he told Prahlad, he said, well, he didn't even tell Prahlad. He told Prahlad's teachers that you need to re-educate this little. And they took him off to re-educate him. And after a period of re-education, where they taught him all about what it means to be a good demon. So you can read all about this, right? If you want to be demonic, there's a process of doing it. There's a method. And they were good at teaching this, like how to be bad. And they taught him all of this. They brought him back. And his father sat him down on his lap. And he was really affectionate to his son. He wanted him, like we all do, he wanted him to grow up to be just like him. Right? Which parent doesn't want their kids to grow up like that? Even when we're not worthy of being like coffee. Right? Still, we want our kids to be like us. We don't think, well, maybe, okay, maybe I'm not the best model. Anyway, so he thinks, he says, so, my son, what did you learn in school? And he's very affectionate. He's crying as he's asking this. And his son, Prahlad, he says a very, very famous verse. He goes, Shravanam kirtanam Vishno smaranam padasevanam arjanam vandanam dasyam sakhyamatma nivedanam. He says there are 9 things that I've learned. What are they? Hearing about the Lord. Chanting his glories, just like we finished our kirtan. Hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, serving his lotus feet, being friendly towards him, worshipping him, offering prayers to him. He says, this is all that I've learned. And his father loses his cool. He loses his affection as a father. And when he sees a threat, he says, this is terrible. And he pushes him off his lap. And he tells all his henchmen, he says, kill this boy. He's like a dog's crooked tail. Just like a dog's fitting, you can't straighten it out. You know, you try to keep it in a stint for overnight for a week, and you get the stint out, it curls again. So, I mean, these certain dogs, right? They have so, he says, this boy is like a dog's crooked tail. And he says, just as you often need to amputate your own limb in order to save the body, right? If you've got gangrene or something like that, you have to cut off that limb. In the same way, I have to get rid of my own son to protect myself. So, a very selfish perspective on the world, but also full of anger and driven with all this pride. And so he tries. He tries to kill him again and again and again. He pushes him off a cliff. And Krishna comes and catches him at the bottom of the cliff. He gives him poisoned food to eat. And Prahlad offers that food. And it becomes as good as nectar. It doesn't poison him at all. He puts him in a pit of snakes. And the serpents, instead of biting him, they protect him by holding their hoods above Prahlad. He puts him in a cage of maddened elephants, and the elephants, instead of stomping him to death, pick him up and put them on their back. In every situation, Prahlad is protected. And finally, Hiranyakashipu decides, okay, enough is enough. My people are incompetent. I will finish the job myself. And he does what no father should ever think of doing. Brings his son in front of him, and he asks him this question. He says, Prahlad, where are you getting your power from? Right? Here is the world's greatest tyrant being defeated not by some big enemy out there with an army of millions, being defeated by a defenseless 5-year-old boy. And if you look out into the world, in fact, if you look into your own lives, we'll realize that the Lord often shatters our ego, our pride, with the most unlikeliest of places. It won't take a huge event to shatter it. It'll be someone very close to us, someone very small, someone we never dreamed would set up a challenge to us. And they'll come, and we won't know what to do. All of our sense of pride and prestige and all of that will just disappear. He often defeats us at home, from our own friends or family, our children, our relatives, our husband, our wife, our boss, our subordinates at work, when we least expect it, because he shows, you think you're so big, but no one's big in front of me. It's just the ego that's really large. The person is small. But, you know, we can all fit through this door, double door, quite big. But if we tried to fit our egos through this door, we'd get blocked, right? We wouldn't be able to get through. Thank God egos are not physical things. So we don't notice it as we carry it wrong. But we carry the burden of our false egos with us. You know how much work it took Hiranyakashipu to maintain his prestige and his pride? How he had to work day and night? How he had to deal with anyone who challenged him? We have to do the same things in our life. To maintain our sense of pride and our sense of ego, I'm Professor Gupta. Right? And that ego is so big. Now I have to maintain it, right? I have to work hard, I have to look smart in front of my colleagues. And you know how much work that takes to look smart in front of your colleagues and your friends? You have to say smart things, you have to think smart things. And half the time you try to say something smart and it comes out stupid. And then this is a problem. Then you go, you have to do damage control after that. Right? And try to fix things up. We have to work hard to protect this thing, this balloon we carry around. It's an ego. Do you know how difficult it is to preserve a balloon? If you've got a large balloon, especially one that's blown to capacity. It doesn't take much, just a little pinprick, pop, they go. That's the way our ego is. It's this big balloon that we have to protect. And it's filled to capacity. That was the case with Hiranyakashipu. Such a big ego. And he's telling his son, where are you getting your power from? You're just a kid. And Prahlad's answer, very smart. He says, my dear father, I get my power from exactly the same place you get yours. What a way to challenge him. In the sweetest possible words. Your power, the source of your power is the same as the source of mine. So what's the difference? I recognize that. I see that this ability, this power is not my own. It's a gift that I've been given. And you think it's yours. That's the only difference. But it's the same source of power. It's Krishna. It's God. And Hiranyakashipu flies into a rage. And he says, so who is this Krishna? Who is this God? And why won't he show himself to me? Isn't this the question that we all ask at some point in our lives? Particularly when things don't go the way we want them to go. The first person we want to blame is God. And we blame him by questioning him. Who is he? Why is he not here? And why doesn't he do anything for me? It's the same question Hiranyakashipu asked. Why doesn't he do anything? Why is he not here? Why is he not present? Show him to me. And we question. We question God's very existence. It's a natural thing. Where is he? Why doesn't he show himself to me? And Prahlad's answer, again, very, very intelligent. He said, actually, he's everywhere. You can see him anywhere you want. He's present in all things, in all beings. And Hiranyakashipu has a difficult time believing this. Because he doesn't see Krishna anywhere. And Prahlad says he's everywhere. Prahlad has this beautiful verse he tells his father a little earlier in the story. He says, Matirna Krishne parata swatova midho vipatye tagriha vratanam adanta gobhir vishatam tamisram puna punaschar vitacharvanana. One of the most famous verses from Prahlad's words to his father. He says, my dear father, there are some people in this world, Matirna Krishne Parata Swatova, whose mind, whose heart doesn't connect with Krishna, either by their own effort, because they have no desire, or by other people's say, like Prahlad was telling his father, please recognize Krishna, he's your friend, he's your well-wisher. He likes you. Surrender to him. Not by your own desire or by the desire of others or by a combination of the two. Why? Adanta gobhir vishatam tamisam. Because their senses are uncontrolled. And Prahlad tells his father at this point the most difficult thing that his father can hear, which is, you've conquered the world, but there's one thing you have not conquered. Your own senses. Adanta gobhir. Your senses are uncontrolled. And so when you want something, you have to have it. And you have to run behind it. And you're willing to kill and slaughter anyone you need to in order to get to it. Now, none of us are that bad, hopefully, right? We don't go around killing and slaughtering people to get what we want. But we'll take a slightly gentler means, right, of getting what we want. We go after our senses, what they want. They're asking for something and you just run behind them. So in this way, Prahlad is saying, you have no control over yourself. And as a result, Krishna doesn't appear within your heart. You can't see Krishna. Even though he's everywhere, you can't see him. And so Hiranyakashipu, in his skepticism, he says, if he's everywhere, is he in this pillar here? And Prahlad says, yeah, he's in that pillar too. And so Hiranyakashipu breaks the pillar. He smashes the pillar. And as that pillar comes crumbling down, from inside comes this incredible being. Half man, half lion. Neither man nor a lion. Namrigam namanusham. Not an animal, not a human being. Roaring as he comes out. And Hiranyakashipu looks at him, and he looks at Prahlad, and he says, "This is your God? This is who you worship? Very odd. Very odd." And one has to admit, right? I mean, had we not known about Narasimha, if you saw a being that was half man, half lion, you'd want to refer him to a scientist and say, you know, what kind of species is this? But for Hiranyakashipu, it was incredible. And he was a little afraid, but also confused and amused at the same time. Who is this God? But the Lord had taken this form just to beat Hiranyakashipu at his own game. At his own game. He could not be killed by any human being, any animal. So he comes as half man, half lion. Lion face, lion claws, and human body. He could not be killed in the day or in the night. So what time was it?
Dusk.
Today it's going to be 8:54 p.m. 8:54 p.m. dusk, when it's neither day nor night. It's in between. He couldn't be killed inside or outside, and so he sat him down right here on the threshold, on the border of the house. He could not be killed in the sky or on the ground, and so he sat him down upon his lap. He could not be killed by any weapon. And so he tore him apart with his nails, like a lion was ought to do. So what we see from this is, well, no matter how smart someone is in this world, no matter how strong they are in this world, in front of God, the most important person is small. And it says that he took Hiranyakashipu, this tyrant, this child abuser, and he crushed him like Tavakara Kamalavare Nakamat Bhuta Shingam Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanubhingam. Dalita, he killed Hiranyakashipu Tanubhingam like a little bug. Right? You know, like they squash spiders? It's a terrible thing to do, but people do it. They scream, whack, spider. Like that, he squashed Hiranyakashipu. Back, just like that. But what's amazing is that the Lord did all of that. Satyam vidhatum nijabhitya bhashitam. He took this adbhuta, this amazing form that no one had ever seen, most unusual. He did all of this, jumping out from a pillar. Jumping out from a pillar, coming in an odd form as half man, half lion, timing his visit perfectly. He did all of this for what? Just a 5-year-old boy. Just a 5-year-old boy. And that proves the other thing, that no matter how small we are in this world, in the eyes of God, we are very important. He was just a 5-year-old boy. And the Lord, he's the Lord of all creation. There are millions and millions of beings, billions of beings in his sight, in his vision. What's a 5-year-old boy? Nothing. No one would even notice it. In fact, we don't. People die and people starve, and we worry in general, but we can't keep track of everyone. How much can we know? We try our best. But the Lord, he keeps track of every living being. Every smallest being, he keeps track of them. Knows their pains, their pleasures, their aspirations, their hopes, everything he knows, and he takes care of them. Srila Prabhupada, the founder of Chaya, of this movement, he used to say that an ant will get his one grain of rice. That's what he needs. And the elephant gets his 1,000 pounds a day. Everyone gets what they need. He added to that, only man has an economic problem. We kind of mess things up. We're unique in the whole system. The Lord tries to take care of us, but we have our own ideas involved. But you see, in the story of Prahlad and Narasimha, the Lord did all of this, not to save the world, not to fix everything. Well, he did, as he did. But the whole purpose was just a little boy, just a 5-year-old boy, he came to help. And so that is the confidence we should have on a day like this. We pray to Lord Narasimhadev, this form of the Lord. Why? For protection, to help us. Because we know that the Lord listens. If he could come for a 5-year-old boy, he can come for us. We have to have that kind of confidence that no matter what, in what circumstance, the Lord will always protect us. And so we sing in this song, Ito Narsingha, Parato Narsingho, Yato Yato Yami Tato Narsingha, Bahir Narsingho, Hidaye Narsingho. The Lord is inside, he's outside, he's here, he's there, he's outside, he's in our heart, he's everywhere. He's always there, he's always watching, he's always looking after us. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like the Lord is looking after us. And sometimes the Lord can take a little bit of time to respond. You know, with Prahlad, Prahlad had to go through a lot before the Lord appeared. He always protected him along the way. But I'm sure it wasn't easy to get all that abuse from your own father. So the Lord protected him every step. He didn't let harm come his way. But it was not easy for Prahlad. It was not an easy journey. And so life's journey doesn't have to be easy, right? That's not the guarantee that the Lord gives. He never says that if you're my devotee, everything in this world will be a piece of cake. He never says that anywhere. But he does say that I will always protect you. And he shows that he can. And this is the story in which he shows it. So we hear his promise in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashwat chantim nigacchati Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. He tells his friend and his disciple Arjuna, he says, Oh Arjuna, you declare it to the world boldly. Tell everyone, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. My devotee never perishes. My devotee never perishes. I look after them like I look after my own child. That's the faith or the confidence that we can think about, we can remember, we can try to cultivate perhaps on a day like this, where the Lord appears just to prove this point, these two points. No matter how big you are in this world, you're still very small in front of the Lord. And no matter how small you are in this world, you're still very big, very important in the eyes of the Lord. I will stop there. If anyone has any questions or thoughts.